Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, YouTube. Good evening, Facebook. Good evening to the Zoomers. And for you, those of you that's just sitting at your house, and God has brought our program in, and you don't even know how you're getting it, well, glory, hallelujah. Show us miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. We are live on YouTube. In a matter of a couple minutes, Brother Roger will be there welcoming everybody in. Or if you get there first, you can welcome him in. Thank you, Brother Roger, for being there. Brother Richard Miller and Sister Tracy McSwain, thank you guys, Sunday, putting in verses, making our YouTube channel a place where people feel welcome. Now, I got a couple things to say tonight. So before we get started, we're starting right at the top of the hour, and we're working very diligently to get ourselves started right at the top of the hour on a regular basis. And every time, you want to be able to start right at 7 o'clock. Those of you who like to come and talk with us at the beginning of the program, before the program, always remember about 20 minutes till, let me say it differently, most days about 20 minutes till the top of the hour, we will be on Zoom, and you can come and talk, and we can hang out and eat our supper and drink coffee together, and we do that. But we're really making a focus to get ourselves started right at 7 o'clock. So that's a change that we're going to be making. And you know, really seriously, we give a lot of diligence to this, and then there's sometimes we have to give a lot of diligence and intercession. But we just choose on a regular basis to say, ha, 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 we win because we are the children of Almighty God. And so we're glad to have you with us, Rebecca. Thank God for you, Rebecca, verses and stuff you put in. It looks like you beat Roger, so make sure when he shows up, you say, welcome, Roger. I just took your job for you just a little bit. Who knows? So anyways, I want to talk about something Brother Dutch told us about on the Give Him 15 program. And it's a book called The Patriot's Field Manual, A Citizen's Guide to Saving America at the Local Level. This book is written by a man named Major William J. Osten. Major William J. Osten, O-S-T-A-N. And this is a very easy read, a very simple book. You're going to love the format, the layout, and it's going to inspire you to get yourself busy helping. It's actually only 90 pages long. It's 90 pages long. I like this. Mary Eisenhower, who I believe is the granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower, wrote the foreword for the book. And I think I'm just going to read it. Is that all right if I just read it? I want to encourage you to buy it. I bought this today, Dutch said, to buy it, and it was delivered at her house yesterday, so it was pretty quick, about a week. But listen to this forward. This is by Mary Jean Eisenhower from the book, The Patriot's Field Manual. I was born when my granddad was president and was baptized in the blue room of the White House. Interesting place for a baptism.
Yeah.
I have fond and vivid memories of my early life with Granddad and Mimi at the Eisenhower Farm near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. That'd be a cool place to live, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He would entertain many heads of states, which gave me the incredible opportunity to have childhood encounters with legendary world leaders like Winston Churchill, Nikita Khrushchev, Charles de Gaulle. These were wonderful days full of joy and peace. Many historians agree that Dwight D. Eisenhower was one of the greatest military generals and presidents in the proud history of the United States of America. As great as he was as a military leader and statesman, he was even better father, grandfather, and friend. At 7 years old, I lost my best friend to congenital heart failure, which devastated me. A few days after her memorial, I was at Granddad's farm. They had a glassed-in porch which served as the family room. I was sitting on the sofa and Granddad was watching Green Acres on the TV. The great Dwight Eisenhower was watching Green Acres. You gotta love it. I was so bewildered and upset that I started out over the extensive backyard and beyond the alfalfa field. After a while, Granddad turned off the TV, left his chair, and sat by me. Put his arm around me as he assured me with loving thoughts about my friend. I leaned my head on his chest and will never forget the utter security I felt when I heard his heartbeat. The world went away and I felt totally loved. Interesting picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
He is famous for being a man of war. He played a critical role in helping to save Western civilization during World War II. And while this is true, what is lesser known, but just as important, is that he was full of kindness and gentleness. That's something. Great five-star general. He helped anyone in his circle of influence, no matter how big or small. General and President Eisenhower was so proud to be an American, and he lived his remarkable life for the express purpose of defending and improving her in times of war and peace. That is why I know my granddad would love what Major General William J. Osteen has written in the book, The Patriot's Field Manual. This succinct but powerful book fully captures the ethos of the American founding and provides a practical roadmap for local engagement. Say it with me. I've got an assignment to do. You think about Sister Leanne and I, we shared it with you often. We were right out there at Walmart with our table and diligently involved in getting a bill passed, and they don't think it ever made it. No, we know it didn't make it because the people that were supposed to be in charge of all of the pages of signatures were all Democrats. And they threw them away, and they made errors, so they would not be counted. Be careful who your friends are. There were Army field manuals scattered all over Granddad's office. Seemed like the Army had thought of everything because one field manual would cover infantry tactics to ambush an enemy in an entrenched position, while another would have specific mechanical instructions on how to fix the iconic Army Jeep made famous by its use in World War II. I wondered what the field manual documents were all about. As years went by, it became evident that the Army's purpose to fight and win the nation's war. Every one of these leaders that's just like, it don't matter, let's just kill a bunch of our young men. They're wicked. We know why we must fight and win, and these field manuals show soldiers how to fight and win. That's exactly what Field Manual 1776 does. It provides a philosophical why for the defense of America, because unlike during the World War II epic, when everyone was proud to be in America, American, our country is under attack with various revised ideologies. Part one, it's necessary. Then part two shows how local citizens, how to use the tools provided in our democratic republic to nonviolently fight and win back their communities. Field Manual 1776 is read by millions of Americans. More importantly, I hope they heed the clarion call to action Major Osteen has given. When I'm around Will, and especially when I've heard him speak to young leaders at the Presidential Leadership Institute, I am reminded of my granddad, because Major Osteen shares all the qualities of the tender warrior I described above. Will's heart is aflame with love for our beautiful country. His passion is contagious and imbues the words in this book. My sincere hope is that this field manual will light a fire in your heart to join us in doing our duty to defend Western civilization in our time. As Will boldly proclaims, we do our duty, then America shall be saved. Want to say it with me? America shall be saved.
Amen.
Dwight D. Eisenhower said, a people that values its privileges above its principles soon loses both. It's called the Patriot Field Manual by Major General William J. Osteen, a decorated American general. And maybe I said that wrong. I guess he's not a major general. He's a major. He got a promotion right here while I was talking. Amen. Hallelujah. That's cool. So anyways, I encourage you to get that book while he's talking about it. Most of all, once you get the book, read it. And then begin to put into practice exactly what it's on this page. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I can't get involved in politics. I understand. But you can pray for your community that everybody who should be involved in politics in your community gets involved. And you might not have the strength or the courage or the physical capability to go run a political campaign, but you can stand in the gap, make up the hedge, lay hands on a county map, a city map, pray over all the communities and declare that righteous, intelligent, qualified, excellent people will stand up and make a difference right there in your community. And so I encourage you in Jesus' mighty name to get this book. I forget what it might have cost me, $10 or $12, something like that. It's very well worth the read. It's very well worth the cost that it will cost you. Because we believe in America here. And since about 2007, when God gave me that Gettysburg Address as a prayer, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication, I have not failed to share that prayer with whoever would listen and whoever would speak it with me, because it is so important that each of us no longer look to the great generation and say, weren't they wonderful? We must look at ourselves and say, we must become the great generation for 2023. And we must be the leaders in this nation that takes this nation to the next level. You might look at yourself and say, Pastor, I can't take anybody anywhere. Well, get your act together. Some people don't expect you to say that, but hey, get your act together. Study, read, grow, develop, There's never a place in American history where we get to sit down and do nothing. It is time, whether or not you can be out there on the street and making things happen there, you can make things happen in your prayer room and in your prayer closet and joining your faith with us in our prayer program every morning. And the blessing of God comes upon us. It's called a commanded blessing. We pray that in our prayer every single time we're here, and we'll do it again tonight. And so we just welcome you. We're glad you're here. For those of you who may be new, you might be saying, what in the world is this all about? Well, what this is all about is we are a program that teaches faith. Everything that God's given us to do is about speaking the word of faith and speaking in faith, helping people grow and develop in their faith, and encouraging those who feel like they might be on a last-ditch effort to find God, help you find God, to help you find God. Thank you to all of you that's been praying. We could get into the website. I finally got back in today. Matter of fact, I've been praying about it, speaking the word of God over it, and sat down at the computer, and it opened right up. Like, it didn't open over and over and told me I wasn't even a part of the website. It doesn't matter. Thank God we got back in, and it won't be long. You'll be seeing some changes on our website, samueljcottle.com, and just more ways that we can take this word that God has given to us and make it an effective word in your life so that you can be blessed by the things of God in Jesus' mighty name. So, like we do every time we come here, isn't that just something? We're going to share the screen. And start our program with the pledge to the Christian flag, the American flag, and our opening prayer and confession. We do this every time we come together because if it's important to say it once, it's important to build it into a generation of believers. Rise together with me. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And now the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who, of course, naturally, today, sat at one point or another with thoughts of their loved one's life lived in service rendered. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless them with healing and strength. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now let's sing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now, let's pray our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Let's pause for a minute. Father, we're not just saying words. We truly, truly love you. We appreciate you in our life. Thank you that you open the door, open the way for us to be one with you. Not just live servant to master. Not just live God to subject, but live father to children. Help us, Lord, to take our relationship with you to that whole new level where we live as one with you. And all of these declarations that we just made, children and heirs of God, body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. Thank you that we have access to it, and we never take it for granted as though you owe us. Thank you that we have been given the blessing of the opportunity. Yeah. The blessing, the grace, the kindness, the favor, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry. Believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's speak this one out loud. I sow my time, talent, and treasure into the kingdom today. Peter said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, everyone who leaves house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, you shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, and children and lands, income and salary, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. This is our declaration. I receive the 100-fold of all of my life and faith for the kingdom that is laid up in harvest form in heaven, and I put it to work on earth to preach the gospel and to save lives today. The commanded blessing of unity. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Father, we lift our hands and we say, we receive your commanded blessing on our lives that comes from gathering together in unity tonight. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. The fivefold ministry. Some of you may not be accustomed to saying prayers like this at the beginning of a time of ministry. We do this every day on purpose. Because if someone's not proclaiming these verses in the spirit of faith across this nation, then all of these valuable people that should be being blessed and helped and strengthened by the things of God are not going to receive on the inside the courage to make it. I think of that testimony that we heard of that one great missionary. And they came to kill him that night. And they didn't get to. Because when the people came to martyr him, there was, I think it was 13 angels standing around his house. And he came home and told the story to the pastor in the church that he belonged to. And the pastor said, when was that event that happened? And he told him, he said, we had that exact number of intercessors praying that night. All of a sudden, it becomes very important for you and I, anytime God lays a heavy burden on us, to speak that word, because you don't know the victory that you're bringing for someone else. We're speaking over the fivefold ministry right now. And then the body of Christ. Join us in faith as we speak this. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about it. God wants you and I filled with all the fullness of Christ. Now, for all of you weird religious people, you're not the Christ. You're his younger brother. Jesus is our elder brother. That's the Bible. If you don't know that verse, well, quit laying around being lazy and study. I said it with a smile. You can say anything with a smile, right? Open your Bible up and see that the Bible actually calls Jesus our elder brother. And the book of Romans chapter 8 says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Back to the word, I'm going to get preaching and I can't do it. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of this plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Make me a blessing to others today.
Amen.
We started to say that. Immediately I heard my grandfather, my grandpa Bongard, singing the song, Make Me a Blessing to Someone Today. That was his favorite song. I believe it's what my mom has said. That was his favorite song from the hymnal. Make me a blessing to someone today. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked way. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. And now, our closing part of our faith confessions is the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. And I want to pray first. Father, all across this nation, at this very hour, patriotic events are ending in the Eastern time zone. They're just getting started good in Central. They're just getting preparation in Mountain. And in Pacific, they just started entering the buildings. We declare tonight that we hook our faith with the international network of prayer and faith of everyone speaking over America. Yes. And we gather faith from it and we add faith to it. And we say, America shall be saved. We declare that they begin every one of these events with prayer and the pledge and people calling on America to be a righteous nation because righteousness exalts. We call it done. In Jesus' mighty name, and Jesus' mighty name, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And besides that, amen. When I began the ministry, Dr. Barclay prophesied one night it's just apps. Whatever you do, don't be offended at an app. Isn't that just something? All right. They're all finally removed from in front of the screen. Now, Dr. Barclay prophesied over me way back, probably 97, maybe 98, somewhere in there. He said one great minister finished his ministry. And after 60 years in ministry, he said, the greatest thing I've learned in ministry is that God really does know more than me. Now, you might laugh and mock and say, all right, Pastor, what, you think you know more than God? No, we don't think we know more than God. God gives us an assignment. We begin to do it. It begins to happen. And we have a tendency to get it moving. And then because we've got everything in the right spot where it is and it's excellent, and then we just begin to function out of the habit of it. And what he prophesied is, God really does know what he's doing. And if I would have learned to just do what he told me to do when he told me to do it, the whole ministry would have been different. And these prayers at the beginning, that may not be something you've ever done. I've done it now for quite a few years. But most churches never do that. But then again, most churches never get too much accomplished either, because they never get the whole church together on a specific verse of scripture saying, Father, bless us this way. Help us get that done. You told us to do it. And that's what us speaking these verses does, not only for you and me personally, but for all of that ministry work that's together with us. And so, when you go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, this isn't my message, but I'm going to refer to it right now. Hebrews chapter 4 declares in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. See, Jesus is the high priest of our profession. What's that mean? That means Jesus is always looking for the word of God to come off of our lips, and then as the high priest, take those words that we say, take them to the Father, and the Father brings them to pass. That's why I say many churches never get too much accomplished. They have a good pizza program for the kids. They have a cute missionary things for the kid, for the babies, the small children. They bring their nickels, dimes, and quarters, which in the day we live, a nickel, dime, and a quarter don't do much of anything, although don't stop bringing it. That's all you got to bring. Teach your children to give. But in the day that we live, when you start talking about helping Brother Tanvir with all the people that have lost their homes and lost their church buildings, we're talking multi-millions of dollars that must be raised and brought and sown into the kingdom. Well, here's the revelation of it. When we speak this word, then God, through Jesus, our high priest, receives those words spoken in faith. They're a sweet-smelling aroma to him. And they begin to come to pass, because that's what Jesus' assignment is in our life. So you may have never seen this. I encourage you, join in. Make sure you get her every night. The Bible says one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000 to flight. Well, what about seven? We don't even know. Don't even know. But what three does, he only gave us two parts of a three-part. You'd have to have at least three parts to set a standard. And God didn't want us to limit him. So he only gave us two of the parts of the equation. Keep your faith with us every day. You might wake up in the middle of the night and say, man, I need to make that statement. Well, open up one of these videos. And in the beginning, all you got to do is slide the little red dot around till you see the blue confession or the white confession paper show up, and you'll be right there, and you'll be able to say it with us. It won't be long. I've been working diligently to make it happen, and as of yet, I don't know how. But we'll get it. The Holy Spirit will continue to show it to us. I want to be able to take these confessions that we make and put them together as little PowerPoints that can actually be saved and shared on your Facebook pages, Instagram, and the different social media platforms where you are, so that you can share them out there and other people can actually pray them with us. We can build a whole team of people praying and speaking the word of God. It's only his word. When we speak the word, it comes to pass. When we live in our own meditation, God can't bring your meditation to pass. He brings his spoken word to pass in your life. And I thank you for being here and being a part of that in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let me say this. If what I just said to you doesn't make sense to you, I encourage you to send me an email and ask the question. Say, Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking about. Whatever your question is about it, send me an email and say, Pastor, explain that to me. And if you ask a question, you put a different balance on the words that we're saying.
Yeah.
Right? our sister Mary Pasterick was known for asking many questions. God bless Mary. Today I was going through my phone and I actually have saved one voicemail message of Mary's, and I will keep it. She was a wonderful lady and a wonderful friend of ours. Wonderful friend of this ministry. Thank you for standing with us and believing with us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's get to the word of God for tonight. Guys, we got a good word for tonight. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's here somewhere. I know it is. It's just an app. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Share screen number one. Hold your Bible up and make this confession with us. Here we go. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Now, go with me. That's another one of those confessions we make. And we make it because we believe, we know, the Bible says that we will get the fruit of our lips. And I'm sure I know you as much as I know me. You and I want the fruit of our lips to be an abundant blessing from God and for this word to come alive in our life. So here we go. Let me get my comments up here so I can see if I can keep up to you guys just a little bit. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Let me get my comments up. Comments are up. Thank you, Sister Rebecca, Sister Sunday. Brother Roger, we love you guys. Go with me now to, let's see. Which way are we going first, Father? Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, when you get to 1 Peter 1, make sure you're not trying to find it in 1 Peter 2, because the verses will just not look the same in any sense of the word. 1 Peter 1. And, well, I was going to start with 19, but let's go back and let's start with 13. 1 Peter 1, 13, and it looks like we're going to read down through verse 21. Our title tonight is We Overcome by the Blood of the Lamb and the Word of Our Testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Let's see if we can get this to be where it's supposed to be. Are you signed in with Zoom? All right. I can get rid of that. All right. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Did you know your mind has loins? Be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter's saying, you're going to get revelation? Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, get your mind going. And I'm going to say to you, get your mouth going. Not yakety yak, flap, flap, flap. Get your mouth going, speaking his word out loud. Keep reading. I'm in verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Think about it. The Apostle Paul said, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You might think, my goodness, how in the world am I ever going to be holy like Jesus is holy? Jesus gave you, he imputed to you his righteousness. If you want to add that verse right there, between verses 15 and 16, that's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 23. That talks about Jesus imputing righteousness to you. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And why else would he say that except that he comes back his abode within us? And since he's within us, it's going to be real easy to be holy because he's in you. That revelation is going to automatically come to everybody who ever comes to our ministry.
Amen.
Can I get an amen from anybody? Verse 18, 17. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time, the time of your stay here in faith, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers. You're not redeemed. You're not bought back by human earthly things. Look at 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who was sacrificed as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember this. When the children of Israel brought their sacrifice to the priest to atone for their sin on the Day of Atonement, the priest did not look at them. The priest looked at the sacrifice to see if that sacrifice was worthy. He already knew the man and woman standing in front of him were sinners, had sinned. What he was examining is the sacrifice. Was the sacrifice holy? And we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who came to this earth and did not sin. He was tempted always, like as we are, and yet without sin. You want to say it with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you lived above sin. That you lived above sin.
Where would we be if not?
See, If it wasn't for, like Cicely Ann's saying right now, if it wasn't for Jesus living above sin, then it's in our own righteousness that we're having to live. But that's not what the Bible says. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's read another set of verses on the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 3. Somebody could write a verse list out tonight. That would be really beneficial because I'm already adding a bunch of verses that I didn't have here when I began. But that's okay. I like that. Do you like how God does that? Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to go to, let's go to 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. You get the righteousness because you believe. I know. You're trained like I was. You got to do something to earn it. If you earn it, it's a wage. It's a free gift. And this is a free gift. I'm going to read verse 22 now. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't stop there. That's a comma. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Think about this statement for a minute. There is no way that you or I are worthy of Jesus' shed blood. Have you thought about that lately? You're not worthy. I'm not worthy of his blood. In our own actions, we're sinners. How does a sinner who has no ability to make himself righteous, how does a sinner make himself acceptable to a God that only accepts righteousness when we have no ability to create righteousness in ourselves? Now, the word propitiation means appeasing or atonement. We have sinned. We've come short. Jesus' blood and his righteousness is that atoning power, that appeasing power that gives you and I deliverance and freedom from sin. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 17. Romans 5, 17. Speak, Holy Spirit, speak. Wow. For if by one man's offense death reigned. Adam sinned, death reigned till Jesus gave his blood. Does that make sense? Adam sinned, and immediately death hit. Adam and Eve lost their perfect relationship with the Father. They were clothed in glory. What's the glory? Righteousness. They didn't know sin. So from Adam and Eve till Jesus' death and resurrection, sin reigned. Now Romans 5:17 says, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, we're going about this in a different path than the other times we've done it, but it's pretty much the same message we've preached many times. But look at this next verse. Romans chapter 8. Paul is the one that got the revelation, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Paul's the one that got the revelation. Jesus was made righteous for us. Paul's the one who received the revelation that if we will receive it in faith, we'll be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's the one that brought that mystery to us. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, all of a sudden, we've now gone from son or from believers, whosoever believes on me will not perish, but have everlasting life. We've gone from believers to sons. See, now you're not, that's what Romans 5:17 says. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life with the one man, Jesus Christ. Well, how are you going to reign? Because if you're led by the Spirit, you are a son, a child of God. And if you're a child of and heir of God our Father, then you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Let's read it. Verse 15, I'm in Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. Say it with me, I am a children of God.
I am a children of God.
Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And join heirs with Jesus. I got to read one more verse about being a children. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 16 through 18. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Zero. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now listen, these are the words that God said. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is God who has made this statement. You can go back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me. This is prayer. Sister Leanne prays. at the beginning of the prayer program. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole. And we haven't even got to our main verse yet tonight, but we're laying the foundation of this thing, declaring you and I have got to continually establish ourselves in the blood of Jesus. Now, I can tell somewhat recently that people are saying, Pastor, you're preaching the same message over and over and over. You're right. I am. But every time I come and I sit down here, the same message comes to me. I'm not a broken record. It's on skip, skip, skip. We've got to establish this within ourselves to the degree that it transforms us into that new creation that can go out of our house into that community and transform people's lives. It has to be motivating. It has to be inspiring. It has to be, this revelation has to get down inside of you. Do you realize, hold it, I didn't deserve this, and God just changed me to be like him, his son, of his own will. I didn't deserve it. Maybe you still think you're God's greatest gift to the earth. I wouldn't think that if I was you. If it wasn't for his great love, you wouldn't be born again. Pastor, you don't know how I grew up. I am one of God's greatest gifts. Anybody that has any thought like that, you're not a great gift. You're already messed up because you're full of pride. I know. I'm not playing patty cake, trying to make somebody feel good. Listen. You're going to stand before Jesus, not Sam Cotto. You're going to stand before Jesus, not T.D. Jakes, not Joel Osteen, not Billy Graham, Jimmy Swaggart. You're not going to stand before Brother Copeland. You're not going to stand before any of the great heroes of our day, Marilyn Hickey or Joyce Myers, and give an account before Jesus. And I will have brought to you this word that will transform you so that on that day he looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm back in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will receive you. Well, what happens if we touch what's unclean? No, like read the Bible, and give an answer that comes from the Bible. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. There it is, God Almighty, saying that he will be a father to us. Let's look at one more set of verses here, and then we're going to go, well, all right. I think I'm going to look at one more set of verses, and then my endeavor is to head to the book of Revelation, how this works. John chapter 8. John 8, 31 through 36. I heard a man during the Holy Spirit speaking about this several different times during the Helps Conference this last week. And I just thought, you know what? That's very, very, very interesting. And I, for some reason, I just wasn't focused on the set of verses. But I've added to it now, And these verses, I'm going to speak these verses together whenever I speak them because they're of absolute importance. John 8, 31 through 36. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Did you notice that that sentence starts with an if? If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Well, Pastor, what happens if I don't abide in the word? That certainly looks like what it says, doesn't it? "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man." And they were in bondage right then to Rome. "How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them. Listen to this. "Verily, verily, I say to you," most assuredly, "I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. All of a sudden, we begin to see the importance continually speaking to us that we function in Jesus' righteousness and get out of all of our own self-righteousness. Many times I've said, "Well, I don't know about you, but let me just make a statement a little differently this time than I've ever made it before." Pause here. I know about you because I know what Christians are. I know what righteousness is. I know what the righteousness that comes through man is. And I know what the righteousness that comes through faith is. See, you and I have been given the assignment to overcome and to not sin. Do not sin. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6. Let me see. You better grab the exact verse here. Romans chapter 6. Yeah, 1 and 2. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And I hear people say all the time, "Well, Pastor, I've not died to sin." Well, okay, at least you're willing to admit it. So let's get you born again so you can die to sin. I've had people look right at me and say, "Yeah, but Pastor, I enjoy this sin." Now what? Now what? Wait, I understand that I'm walking this thing right down the line tonight. I know. I can tell we're not jumping and shouting and dancing and running the aisles and everything, but we could be. But here's the revelation. You and I, every one of us have to deal with this. I fought this battle for 20 years. Did you hear what I said? I fought this battle. It's probably longer than 20 years. How old? Does anybody know how old I'm? I'm 60. I fought this battle for 45 years. There's the truth. Well, 40 years. I fought this battle. and doctrines of the church brought great confusion and misunderstanding. But when the reality came that there was nothing inside of me that can produce righteousness that will cause me to be accepted by Jesus, all of a sudden, I now came to the realization, it doesn't matter what I've done throughout my life. It doesn't matter what you've done throughout your life. It doesn't matter how much everybody looks up to you as a spiritual example and a spiritual witness. You and I got to look inside of our heart and say, wait a minute, is this a self-righteousness or is this Jesus' righteousness that I'm functioning in? And hallelujah, if it's Jesus' righteousness you're functioning in, that's good. And that will produce great life and great abundance and great peace. If it's self-righteous, people won't want to be around you. If it's self-righteousness, they won't want to follow you to God anywhere. When you walk in, they'll be like, ah, here comes the religious person again. And your own spirit will be producing the truth about who you are. I know, Pastor, what in the world can I do so that I'm in a different place than what you're saying right now? You can receive the free gift, the abundance of grace, and the free gift of righteousness, and begin to live in the fact that you're going to have to say, Jesus, I thank you that you made me righteous, and I am righteous today. Help me now renew my mind. I know. I just told you I fought this battle for 45 years. But when you really look at it, 40 years, I literally fought that battle for 40 years. You think about when we actually came to the really solid, definitive truth and understanding of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We literally, from the moment we were born again, as a young person in youth camp, at church, whenever it was, we fought that battle of self-righteousness and Jesus' righteousness. You may not have fought it. You may have learned at an early age that it was Jesus' righteousness. I was 55 years old when that revelation came to me. I hated self-righteousness. I hated religiosity. I went away from anything that looked like it. Thank God he brought a man of God. I remember I fasted and prayed for months, saying, God, send me somebody that can help me see what this revelation is all about. It was one of the most serious battles and victories that I knew I had to win. And in that process, he sent Brother Kim Welland. And yeah, I love Kim. And if you're listening, Kim, and I'll say it to you again. Thank you that even though you looked at me and said, how in the world can you be a preacher and not understand the righteousness of faith? Even though you had to look at me and say that, I know I'm not the only preacher that doesn't understand the truth about the righteousness of faith. But thank you, brother, because when you explained it, I was already there ready to receive it. And thank you, Lord, for that in the Bible. Go with me now to Revelation chapter, I think that we are about ready to go through the book of Revelation again. I think we are. We usually do it at the first of the year, but we may have to stop that habit and do it twice a year.
The time is getting shorter,
and the necessity of understanding the purpose of the book of Revelation becomes more and more.
The Bait of Satan series, too, is another one we can do again as the time gets shorter and offenses get closer and more severe.
If you've not had the opportunity to be offended lately, just get a little closer to God, because The Bible says hundredfold comes because of persecution. Hundredfold comes when persecution comes. And just get ready for it. Persecution is going to come. There's going to be people who won't like you growing, developing, and changing. They will not like it. And they'll persecute you for it. They'll call you names. They'll mock you. But guess what? And you can go. You can walk right by their mockery and all of their frustration with you as you go to the bank, cashing a check, as you go to the church, walking in righteousness, as you go out and change the world with the hundredfold return that God's given. Laugh at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. Well, Pastor, that ain't a real laugh. Yeah, it is. I'm laughing at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. You don't win. I've already won because I know enough to stay in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But goodness sakes alive. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And we'll read down through 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Do you remember in the book of Revelation that there's going to come one angel with a chain? And he's going to bind the devil. One angel is going to bind that devil, chain him up, and throw him in the bottomless pit for eternity. Don't give the enemy any more power than he actually has.
Amen.
Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Revelation chapter 12. Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. And anybody that followed his pattern, you are of the father, of that father, the devil. 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. What's the power of Jesus the Christ? His blood and his righteousness. He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin, that he might be the perfect high priest. I heard a loud voice saying, now salvation and strength, kingdom of our God, power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Who is the accuser of the brethren? The devil. Whose grace, whose power are you functioning in when you start accusing the brethren? You're functioning in the enemy's power. Now, you might find yourself in a situation, I have several times in my life, where there is a person that is standing in front of us, and they are accusing, and they're being just downright wicked and perverse. And you're not accusing. You're just reading the fruit on the tree. And then get away from the scorner so his scorn does not get on you. Matter of fact, If lightning were to strike this corner, you don't want the lightning to spread and get you. Remember what the psalmist said? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit around with scornful people. Get up and walk out of the room. Why? Because their scorn will begin to affect your soul. Verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of a lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. You know what's awesome about the enemy's great wrath? Power over you. The only power the enemy ever has is deception. The only children who the enemy actually claims as his, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. The only children he has the ability to produce are children who believe his lies and deception. But you ready for it? As soon as that person wants to know the truth, the truth sets him free. That deception has no power. I've been listening this week to a lot of messages by Mylon Lefebvre. Mylon was one of my heroes. He was a very famous, probably the most famous gospel rocker there ever was. And I didn't know it about Mylon till this week, that he actually was personal friends with George Harrison, Eric Clapton, and all of that group, the Beatles, that whole group. He was friends with them, sang with them, made millions of dollars with them. Was a heroin addict. Couldn't get through the night without heroin. And he went to a second chapter of Acts concert. I know. That's the greatest concert you could ever go to. It's a concert from the second chapter of Acts. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. You ready for this? When Mylon embraced the truth, he was delivered from heroin like that.
So cool.
What is it you're trying to get rid of tonight? Jesus has already done the work. It is already done. I've been jumping around that verse all night long. Let's find that verse. It's in the book of Hebrews where it says, Jesus suffered it, yet without sin.
It is
Hebrews 4:15. Well, we were just there, and I was like, I couldn't see it there. It'll be all right. Watch this. Let's read 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a high priest. No, we have a great high priest. Notice that the words high priest are actually capitalized, meaning it is God. Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He is our high priest. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted as we were, and yet he was without sin. He didn't sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may find grace to help in the time of need. Let's go to Philippians. I've been kind of dancing between these two verses all night long. Might as well go there. What's the message? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is the word of your testimony? I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am made a new creation. Jesus made me his righteousness. Therefore, no sin will have dominion over me. That picture you just sent me, Mr. That picture you just sent me. I'm going to get it right, and I'm not saying them other words. Did you hear me catch it?
Yeah.
The fiery dart that just came at me is a picture of what the enemy wanted me to become. And it has nothing to do with who I am in Christ Jesus. Because in my book was written all my days. And all of that sin was not in on any page of that book. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It's Paul. Just the book of Philippians. 2, chapter 2, verses 5, and let's go down through 11. Now look what this says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? What you and I are getting ready to read right now was actually what was in Jesus' mind. Want to say it? I have the mind of Christ. Yeah, see, that's this. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have the mind of Christ, but here it is again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Jesus is the captain of the host of heaven. He sends Gabriel to Mary, and Mary and says to Mary, you're going to conceive and have a child. Think about this picture now. And Mary says, well, how can this be? And Gabriel says, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And you ready for this? And Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. And Jesus went immediately from being the captain of the Lord's host to an embryo inside of Mary. And Gabriel got back to heaven, and Jesus is in the womb. Now, maybe he didn't go back to heaven. Maybe he stayed alongside of Mary. Why? Jesus made himself become man of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant, came in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as a man. Look at what it says. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. Jesus had to make himself be man. We have to make ourselves be God's children. Pastor, you just said I can't do it. You're right. You spend the rest of your life from the moment you're born again living in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and saying, thank you, Jesus. I receive your righteousness in my life. We have to renew our minds so that we can be like Christ. So that we can be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. You know what? I love it. Sister Leanne and I was looking at our lives 1 year ago right now? My, 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 what God has done in 1 year. Absolutely amazing. I was listening to Dr. Winston's message from the Faith Conference the other night, and when he first got up to preach on Friday night, he said, I want to hear three testimonies of people who've had their debts canceled. One lady stood up over here. She said, Dr. Winston, I forget the number, but it's this large. I had $247,736.25, $247,000 in debt canceled. He said, and how did you do it? She said, you told us to spread our debts out in a circle on a table and speak to them every day. Now, I don't think I've ever heard him say spread them out in a circle. But it doesn't matter. She spread those debts out on her table, pointed her finger at him and said, debts be paid and canceled in Jesus' mighty name. And she had 240-some thousand dollars worth of debt canceled in her life. Why? Because she believed in the word of the God, and it comes from this book, and she was established, and she believed the prophet, and she prospered. How many of you know $247,000 worth of debt canceled is a pretty big deal? Matter of fact, I don't even know how you're getting that much debt if you're just a common person. Let me say it differently. Whatever you do, don't get in that much debt. I know a man like me that's in the trucking business. It doesn't take you too long at all to get in $247,000 worth of debt in the trucking business. That doesn't take long at all. But there was a testimony in Living Color of a lady who had that debt. And there was three different people that stood up and gave testimonies that night that their debts were canceled. Well, the man that taught the message was, old farmer, Charles Capps. Charles Capps was one of the first ones to say that from that point of view. God told him, he was a huge soybean farmer in Arkansas and cotton, and they'd had a thing come through. And the cotton, the weevil or whatever it is, ate all the cotton or whatever it does. And the cotton was done and the beans were done and he had nothing and he was in debt. And he was like, what am I going to do? They're going to take everything I got. And God said, spread all your bills out on the table and speak to them. Jesus said, whatever you say to that mountain to be removed, it will be removed. And the debt was a mountain on the table. So he put the debts out on the table and began to speak to them every day. And I forget, in the matter of months, every one of them was wiped off the desk. You can imagine that man went everywhere he went for the rest of his life saying, put your debts on the table and speak to them in the name of Jesus and watch God wipe them up. See, we overcome, how? By the blood of the Lamb. You don't have any authority in your own humanness to speak to these debts to be paid. But you have all authority in the realm of the Spirit to point your finger at your debts and say, I command you to be paid in full, supernaturally, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Sister Leanne and I have gone from time to time, the debt's out, and the debt's not out. And the debt's out, and the debt's not out. But here's the reality. When the debts were not out, that's because there was a bunch of people coming in and out of the house. And so you don't need to be seeing my debts or what I got. And not everybody can handle that fact that I would have debts. So we put them back, and now they're out again. Why? Because God's word will not return void. We overcome. Look what Hebrews chapter 4 says. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Therefore, come boldly to the throne room of grace. You might say, Pastor, I got every debt paid off I have, but I need a new car. I need a house of my own. Well, God wants you to have a new car and a house of your own. Do you have a relationship with the Father that produces the abundance of his life? There's a lot of people that are taking the word of God and the verses that other people are speaking. They're speaking those words, but they don't have a relationship that matches the words so that the words can come to pass. Build a relationship, God your Father, daily, so that from the inward nature, from who you are on the inside and your relationship with the Father, supernatural abundance flows everywhere and blesses everyone all around you.
Amen.
If you're just trying to do it in your own strength, folks, and I said my confession 37 times, remember what Jesus said? Don't use vain repetition as the heathen do. Don't do that. Vain repetition is not going to do it. But words spoken in faith, they are going to do it. It's the same words. It's where's your faith? In repetition? Or in the fact that this is God's holy word? And he, God, will make his word come to pass. He said, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 55, 11. Isaiah 55, 11. That's where my bookmark was. That's my bookmark. My wonderful family, Jesse and Andrew, Josiah, Micah, and Elijah, standing on the beach. Oh, that's the beach where they go waterboarding. It's a pretty cool beach. I liked it. I was there. Catch them waves, ride them babies all the way in. It was a cool place. And when you got done there, you went up the hill about half a mile, quarter mile, and they had the most amazing ice cream shop right off the beach. And if you went there on the way in, you can stop at the pizza shop that's just across the street from the ice cream shop. And the pizza was amazing. Anyways, back to Isaiah 55, 11. No. 55, 6. Through 13. I love it. We love the word. Anybody want to shout, I love the word?
I love the word. There's somebody besides me.
There we go. Amen. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. And the unrighteous man is thought. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now remember, this is God speaking in the Old Testament to people in the Old Testament. They couldn't be made righteous. Their sins were just atoned for. They were covered. So they're in their thought. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Say it with me. It, the word prospers when I speak it. God sent his word on purpose for a reason. And when we speak it, it prospers. You'll go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountain and the hills will break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the cypress. Instead of the briar, the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. His word will not return void. But you got to live in the word, not in the recitation of words, because God will at least hear me when I recite his words. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. This was a great revelation to me this last week. Amazing revelation. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing revelation right here, right now, tonight. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Do you realize that God is getting ready to give us 13 verses of commandment?
Blessing.
He commands us to be blessed. Here's the first one. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. God commands blessings to overtake you. Say this. I obey your command, Lord. To be blessed.
To be blessed.
See, we speak it many nights, Psalm 133. There's a commanded blessing when we dwell together in unity. This verse is telling us that God is commanding us to be blessed. The way you get it is to meditate in the law day and night. Joshua chapter 1. Verses 5 through 9. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not forsake you. Be strong. That's a command. Be of good courage. That's a command. For this people you will divide the inheritance. That's a command. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that they may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And part of the commandment of the law was he commanded them to be blessed. Do not turn from them to the right or the left. Look at what it says. That you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Want to say it with me? I overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of my testimony. And the word of my testimony is the word of God. The word of my testimony is the word of God. You can't lose. God has commanded us to be a blessing. It's amazing. I could keep right on going and going and going and going, because there's, we, Sister Leanne and I have meditated in this law now since we've been here in Williston for 5 years. 5 years. And pretty much all of that time has been in total immersion, just saturating ourselves in the Word of God day and night, and even when we sleep. Those of you who are a part of the 40 days of prayer for Israel, was it 41 or was it 21? It was 21 days. 21 days of prayer for Israel and for Jerusalem. And we found the 24-hour prayer and worship stream from Mike Bickle's ministry. We still let that play all night long. Why? So that the manifest presence of God and the worship that comes out of that place for 24-hour worship, it's the Davidic worship. David literally paid singers and worshipers to go and sing and worship 24/7 around the clock. That was their paid assignment by the King of Israel. The people that come to Mike Bickle's organization, they're like missionaries. They have gone and raised their own support so that they're paid and they have the money to be there, and their whole focus be worshipers that bring the worship of Almighty God in. It is an amazing thing to see. And we play it all night long. I know some of you are like, man, Pastor, if I try playing something like that all night, I will never fall asleep. I know, because when faith is happening in the air, it's tough for me to go to sleep. I pretty much anymore have to shut it off, because my spirit man will just go crazy when I hear it.
Yeah, we just keep it turned down low.
We turn it down low. Yeah. And that way, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, wow, listen to the praises of God's people. And it's low enough, it doesn't keep us awake. You see, God has commanded this blessing on us. We overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of my testimony. Remember, this is what it sounds like. No matter what temptation comes at you, no matter what trial, no matter what test, no matter what battle, you just look at it and say, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And all those pitchers you're shooting fiery darts, that was not even what I was. That's what you were trying to force me to be. And that's not written in my book. I am washed. You see, as soon as you start saying it, here comes the washing. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have been purged and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I am walking in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is the only thing I am. And I will never be that, because that was never me. See, that's not all of the wickedness and perversity, all of the confusion, all of the abuse and all of that stuff that happened to you in your life in previous years. That's not in your book God wrote about you. That may have happened in your past, but he didn't write that in your book. He wrote blessing. He wrote strength. He wrote power. He wrote dominion. He wrote strength. He wrote honor and glory. A future, a hope, a ministry to bless and strengthen many people. That's what's in your book. All that other stuff is the confusion of sin. It's the confusion that the enemy kept throwing at you, and everybody else said, well, that must be you. You're having the thoughts. No, those thoughts were not your thoughts then, and they're not your thoughts now. Revelation is grabbing onto some people. Every time we say it, the revelation comes to you stronger and stronger and stronger. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Open your mouth and begin to say, all day long, every day, about every situation, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Well, right after I take a drink of coffee. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. You gave us the example of how to live on this earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness that came from the Father. Thank you. On that final night, you said to the Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me. And we receive it. We receive the free gift of righteousness. Help us take this revelation, Jesus. Help us get it into bite-sized pieces so that people can grow and develop in it. And immediately receive this revelation and walk in the strength of it. I pray this in your mighty name. Bless everyone that came here tonight. I declare over every one of you, lift your hands and receive it. I declare over every one of you tonight that the manifest presence of God in this program tonight fills your life with an outstanding revelation of the fact that Jesus gave us his righteousness. May that revelation fill your life in such simplicity that you can share it with anybody that you meet. I declare this now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. I heard somebody praying the other day. And I said to Sister Leanne, that person is not praying from a relationship of oneness. That person is actually praying to God. I know you're God, my Father, and you owe this to me. I'm your kid. Now do it. That's not a good place to be. Why? Because Jesus said there will be many who come in that day and say, in your name, I cast out demons. I did mighty works. And what is he going to say? He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. If you listen to people who have a good relationship with God and you go get the same verses they got, it's real easy for you to say the same thing. But I remember the story of Dr. Lester Summerall and Dr. Barclay. Dr. Barclay said one day, Dr. Summerall asked him if he'd like to come pray with him. And he said, well, I thought, well, yeah, anytime you get to pray with the great general, let's pray with him. So I said, I went to the room, and he said he had this big bowl of fruit, and we ate fruit and prayed and ate fruit and prayed. And he said, I don't even like fruit. But he said, you're going to eat fruit when you get a chance to pray with the man of God. He was in one room, and I was in the other. This is Dr. Barclay saying it. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard him saying, I'm not going to do that until you make good on your word to me. And he said, I thought, man, I wouldn't pray that way. And as they walked to the meeting that night, he said, Dr. Summerall, can I ask you a question? Sure. I was listening to you pray today, and you prayed and told God you wasn't going to do it. I don't think I'd pray that way. And Dr. Summerall says, and you're very right. If I were you, Mark, I wouldn't pray that way either unless you had that kind of relationship with the Father. So you might be using the same verses. Do you have the relationship of oneness? Do you set aside your life every day for that relationship with the Father, where it's just you and him? Ready? Say it with me. From this day forward, until Jesus comes, I will always make time for God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you realize how many times you're going to have to make that same statement all over again from now till Jesus comes? Why? Because distraction is going to be the number one force of the enemy in the last days. And don't ever be condemned. As soon as you see it, say, no, stop it all. Shut off the TV, shut off the radio, shut off everything. Shut off the vacuum sweeper, the toothbrush, shut it all off and go get along with God. Tell the dog to be quiet and the cat to quit meowing. And go be with God. Now I just started the second message. This is the fifth closing for tonight. Let's receive communion together. How'd that be?
Perfect.
I just skipped the last closing. And I just went straight to the thing. It's like I had one more closing I could have used, you know, in all good faith and everything. Let's receive communion together. Now, Sister Leanne and I are praying today. Father, show us exactly how to live our lives, and where you're taking the community of faith. Help us go to the next level in you. He's moving us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. And so you're going to continually see things change and improve. You can see right here, we put the verses up. I would encourage you at your house. You don't have to, we don't have to hear you. The important one is God hears you. Read these verses right out loud with us tonight. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I like to say that verse. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear and torment go now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation next. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, now's the time to do it. Prayer is designed by the Holy Spirit for this group of believers. I had a real short, simple prayer. But God said, nope, I want you to put all this in it. Remember the prayer we used to pray at biker breakfast? Took about 45 seconds. But that's all right. We were live in a restaurant, and we wanted people to be able to pray it and be focused and get it done. And sometimes in a restaurant when you're live, 45 seconds is a long period of time. Anyways, pray this prayer with us. This prayer is designed to help you express statements. Say it from the depths of your heart. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Just like that. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Now I'm going to cut my screen off for a minute here and come back where you can see my face, because I want to welcome you to the family of God. You have just made the greatest decision that you could ever make. That's not just something for me to say. That's a very real, very specific, very, I don't know, you can see, it's like, I want you to get what this is. You just changed your life. Now here's what happened. Darkness just turned to light. Confusion just turned to understanding. Fear just turned to faith. It just happened. God just made you a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. because you simply prayed a prayer and said, Jesus, I receive you into my life right here, right now, today. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, what you just did is not religious. What you just did is not churchy. What you just did has changed your life forever. And that's the transformation you're experiencing on the inside of your being right now as I'm speaking to you. Because what's going on is Jesus is making you a new creation while we speak right now. You need it. You can see it right. Oh, wait, I changed my share. I keep saying it's going to be right in your share, and then I turn it off. Don't go back. You can see right here that we said, surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. Well, folks, that's what we are. We are godly people. And we want you to just give us the opportunity to lead you into the things of God. Send me an email. Say, hey, Pastor, I made a decision. I got videos to send you, verses to send you. We can send you lots of communication and encourage you. You can ask us a question. We'll send you a great teaching. Everything we do is free of charge. We don't charge for a penny, for nothing. Why? Because if the gospel is the free gospel, then when the gospel is free, then there's no excuse. Amen? And we want you to know. My email address is there. I never thought about it. I might as well just put my email address right there. Somebody help me get the app button. I've only typed that about a million times in my life. There's my email address. And send me an email. Hey, Pastor, you're real busy. I am busy. And I never thought I'd be as busy as I've been this last couple months, but it don't matter. We're learning how to use the skills and abilities of everybody that's with us, and we'll make sure your questions get answered in Jesus' mighty name according to the word of God. You ready? Here we go. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. Come over and find us, my email. Find us on the website, samueljcottle.com. I guess I can put that right there. Don't mind me while I just... some stuff in. And the website is going to continually change. I've been asking everybody to help us pray because we weren't able to get in. And today, I got in. And it won't be long. You'll be able to find all the videos for Read the Word listed by month. So you'll be able to go right to the right day, right on the website. You won't have to do any searching, and it'll be a blessing to you. Are you ready? You know what's awesome? Is there some believers who've never received communion because their church requires them to jump through all of these hoops to receive it. And you're with a group of believers that says, wait a minute, Jesus said, examine yourself and then take it. That's the only requirement he said. And when you examine yourself, say, Jesus, I need you. You're worthy. I receive you. That makes you worthy that you've come to God and say, I need you in my life. Now, you can say those words and mock God, and then you'll drink damnation to yourself. But if you come with an open heart, you're going to receive. There we go. Pray this with me right off the screen. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my
iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you were wounded for our transgression. You were bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace is upon you. Thank you. We are healed. And we're healed.
Now we bless the fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life.
All right, so watch this.
I am a new creation.
This guy tries to rob them. And then
please forgive me. My errant medium. Where are we at?
I am a new creation.
Thank you.
Recreated in Christ Jesus.
Old things have passed away, and now all things, by the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony,
the accuser of the brethren
cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name, I receive the fruit of the vine now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Now today, I was praying. Well, it's not been today. It's been many days. But today, the Lord spoke to me about this, and I've been saying, help us take every part of what we do to the next level in you, Jesus. And one of the things I know I've got to help us get to is the spirit-filled life. And so one of those things that makes that possible is the Apostle Paul said, I will pray in this, in my native language. I will pray in the understanding, and I will pray in the spirit. I will sing in the understanding, and I will sing in the spirit. So, I want you to join me singing in the spirit. And this is probably going to be new to many of you, to some of you. But I encourage you right there at your home to you don't learn it, you receive it. But then once you receive the spirit in your heavenly language, then you got to learn to begin to use it. And that is a learning process to teach yourself to flow in the spirit. I heard Dr. Barclay say today, man, you just can't hardly get anybody to do that anymore. And I don't want to be that group of people because we enjoy singing in the spirit. Now, might sing it seem a little different to you. This is not a tongue that needs an interpretation for you to be biblically accurate and completely correct so that you don't have to take me to the heretic website. We're just worshiping God in the spirit. Ready? So let's just sing. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Son de la manande de solo de na. Son de la mando de vanando se. Soro mando le de samare se. Sora la na ne. Om mande valera de monosare, onda lera ni de vero monese, odolona me de vera mandere, odolona de vero, arame. Oh, Lord, dora vere la nome. We worship you, we worship you, oh Lord our God. We worship you, we worship you, oh Lord. We worship you, we worship you, oh Lord our God. We worship you, O Lord. O Lord, emane vana. O lere non de mero. Sore valo dore massa. We worship you, we worship you. Ora mare ne oloro, sore le veruma, sore no le lano non de. We worship you, O God. We worship you, O God. You know, when we realize that the Apostle Paul wasn't just writing words for a Pentecostal church, and if you don't go to one, you don't have to worry about them. He was writing a word by the Holy Spirit to the whole body of Christ of how to help you enter in and have a greater relationship with God. Because then he said, I pray in tongues more than in you all. Well, what's he probably saying? I not only sing in the natural, but I sing in the spiritual. I not only pray in the natural, I pray in the spiritual. And he said, and I pray in tongues more than all you guys do. He wasn't bragging. He was encouraging them. The prayer language of the spirit is of absolute importance in our life because it gives you the building. Get past the mind, past the brain, past the human meditation into the realm of the spirit. Sister Leanne and I today, we're dealing with some things. And man, we got into the spirit, and that whole thing just turned. Just turned. Just turned. Not the words of human wisdom, but the words of God that came by the Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Well, thank you for being here with us. Sister Phyllis, have you got the Revelation verses?
Absolutely. You don't want me to read Jude?
Well, I think we need the Revelation verses tonight.
All right, gladly. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And, although I'd like to keep on reading there, I'm going to go on to Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And now, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every one according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. And verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Then down to verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. I love that. The last verse of the Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. Now, Job 33, verse 14. For God, I'm going to put it in the Sam Cottle paraphrase. All right, I'm not reading straight out of the King James. Remember, this is an Old Testament man, but this is a pretty serious Old Testament servant of Almighty God. For God is speaking to man in one way and in another. And yet man may not perceive it. Have you ever been there? I certainly have. In a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls upon men while they're slumbering on the bed, then he, God, opens the ears of man, that inside ear, and seals their instruction inside of them, ordered to turn them from man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. And right now, tonight, we stand in the gap. We make up the hedge. And we speak over every person that we have ever met, every person who is ever supposed to be in our life, every situation that has ever happened. We declare over all of those people, whether we've succeeded or failed, speak to them, Jesus, tonight. To some of you, that might be a couple hundred. Some of you, that might be a couple thousand. Some of you, that might be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people. I know one of the posts I put out on Facebook had 250,000 people that liked the post the last time I saw it. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little boy in the backside of Morrison Road in the Cedar Swamp. That's a lot of people coming around to your post. But listen, it's what I say. May every one of them, speak this over your grandchildren every night. May every one of them have a dream, have a vision. May they wake up saying, I got to talk to grandma. I got to talk to grandpa. I got to talk to mom, to dad. What is this all about? Speak to us tonight in the dreams, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, till we see you again, this is what we say. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a great program tonight. Remember, get this book, Patriot Field Manual. This is FM 1776, Field Manual 1776, and Citizen's Guide to Saving America at the local level. It's about $12, $13. And I encourage you to read it. I'm going to get it read this week while I'm driving truck.
And I've always just admired everything about Mamie Eisenhower. I've written reports on her. And of course, President Eisenhower was always one of the best presidents we ever had. And so I think I'm going to have to get one also.
Amen. 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 That's not somebody I know much about, is Mr. Eisenhower. I know he's a great general. And I know some of that, but that's just not one of my era. But you know what? Maybe it needs to become that. I just know in the recent years of my life, I'm like, I better study about Jesus and get a better understanding of that before I study about man. But I think that's awesome, Phyllis, that you can say that about her and that you wrote reports and stuff on her.
Yeah.
You can hear from the granddaughter's point of view that they were very loving people. You would think a five-star general who fought in the wars like World War II would be a hard, coarse, mean man, but they weren't mean. They knew they had to defeat an enemy. And, wow, Jesus' mighty name. All right, until we see you again tomorrow morning right here for prayer, Sister Leanne's going to be sitting right there underneath the Peel the Heaven flag and leading us into prayer as we rebuild the walls of righteousness. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
And by the way, if he starts talking to you about fasting, go ahead and say yes, because I can tell it's coming. But what we got to do is go to the next level in God that he wants this ministry. And so thank you for being here and being a part. Sister Rebecca, Sister Sunday, Brother Roger, Brother Richard Miller, we don't see you, but sure you're out there somewhere tonight. We call you blessed, brother. Brother Leo.
Wayner is with us tonight.
Wayner's with us. Love you, John Wayner. I don't see you somewhere, but I'm sure you're there. And I call you blessed. I love you, man. And declare in Jesus' mighty name that all the blessings of the Lord come upon you and that all of this stuff comes together in Jesus' mighty name. All of you in the nations around the world, thank you for being with us. If there's anything within our power that we can do, we'll be glad to do it for you in Jesus' mighty name. See you soon.
Good night.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Love you.
Love you guys too. God bless you.
Talk radio. Where'd he go?